Morning, everyone, and Happy New Year. My name is Jaime. I'm one of the pastors here at Chatham Community Church, and I'm glad to see y'all here this morning, especially those who I'm seeing for the first time. Some of you are here on Christmas Eve, or some of you came last week and I wasn't around. Thank you for coming back, and thank you for starting off your new year with us. What we're all about here at Chatham Community Church is connecting people to God and to each other so together we can engage our world for good. Hope you experience a little bit of that this morning. And I want to make sure that if you are a guest, you got one of our welcome bags. So if you didn't get one on your way in, let's make sure you get one on your way out so you have a little bit more information about what we're about here in Chatham County, what it looks like to connect with us, and you receive a couple of the gifts that we love to give to new people in our community. At the end of the service, I'm going to be just outside the door, so come say hi. I'd love to say hi to you, hear a little bit of your story and how you ended up finding us. Before we get into the sermon, I wanted to talk a little bit about something we are starting here at Chatham Community Church this year. One of the dynamics that we have here at Chatham Community Church is we have many people join our community who have been baptized, either as infants or as children or at a very young age, but faith really didn't form a cohesive part of their life after that. And part of them coming to Chatham Community Church is it's part of how God has been at work in their lives in the recent past as they've joined us. And part of what happens at Chatham Community Church is either they solidify a commitment to God or they put God at the center again of their lives after having spent some time with sort of being out of sync with God. And those people don't want to be baptized again. The baptism was important to their family. It was important to them sometimes in some ways. But they want something. They want something to say, hey, I want to mark that I've made a significant change in my life and in my commitment to faith, and I want to do that among my community. So we're going to do something called, very simply, not very marketable, but clearly, an affirmation of faith. That's what we're going to do. We're going to create space from now on here at Chatham Community Church for people to have an affirmation of faith moment. We're going to start doing that on our baptism day. So it's going to go hand in hand with our baptisms. So January 26th, right after we do the baptisms, we're going to invite people to join us who have made that sort of commitment, that sort of change, and want to declare that, proclaim that, own that, and be blessed in that among their community. So if that's part of your story, maybe you've been here already for a couple of years, but you're like, oh, I've never had the opportunity to actually say, I am affirming my faith in God, I am affirming my commitment to God, and I want to be blessed in that, come talk to me. You can also send an email to RSVP at Chatham Church. It'll be a very simple thing that we do, but it'll be an opportunity for you to declare that publicly among our community and be blessed by our community as you embrace faith for this stage of life and for the rest of your life and for all time. Again, if you have questions about that, come talk to me. And if you're interested in participating in that, either talk to me or email rsvp at chathamchurch.org. We'll be talking about that in the weeks to come, but I wanted to take this first week that we're starting to announce that to give you a little bit more information about what it's about. Maybe it's for you. Maybe it's for someone you know who isn't here. Tell them about it, and we will get that going. Sometime last month, I was in the kitchen, and something smelled off. I just caught a whiff of something. And it wasn't a rotten smell, but it was not right. Something just wasn't right about it. It was faint, but it was there. And I couldn't figure out. Eventually, I got distracted, did something else. And then a few days after that, I smelled it again. It still smelled off, did not smell rotten. I could not figure it out. After a few days of this, I finally turned to Hannah and go, Hannah, do you smell this? She's like, I know. I've been trying to find it for days, too. We could not figure out the source, but now that I knew I wasn't crazy, I wasn't imagining things, we like set out to find it. I mean, we dug through things until finally we came upon this. Now, it wasn't full, I promise you. There was an empty jar of minced garlic in the recycling bin. Now, we'd washed that empty jar of minced garlic, but we'd failed to put the lid back on before we put it on in the recycling bin. And those of you who've dealt with garlic know that garlic has a persistent smell. So finally we found it. You know, again, it didn't smell rotten. I love the smell of garlic, but it definitely did not smell right. So we took it, we threw it out. The smell lingered for days, folks, even after we threw it out. But eventually we got it taken care of. But it's interesting how for days we would be in the kitchen and it just did not feel right. Something was off. Have you ever been in a situation like that? I don't mean a kitchen situation, but in a situation where something feels off. You can't quite put your finger on it. Maybe it's a space that you're in that just feels funky. Maybe a relationship that you're in that suddenly just doesn't feel like it's going the right way. Maybe you're in a situation at work or at school, and it just feels like it's not hitting the right notes. You can't quite put your finger on what it is, but something just feels off. It just feels funky. What do you do in those situations? What do you do when things feel off? Isn't it true that sometimes when we find ourselves in those situations, we don't know what to do? And that's part of what unsettles us, that it feels off and we don't know what to do. Sometimes it's because, like us, we can't identify the cause. We can't figure out what stinks. We can't figure out what's funky. Other times we think we know what it is, but we don't know what to do. We don't feel like we have solutions in our hands. We don't feel like there's anything we can do. And so it feels like all we can do is sit with this offness. What do you do when things feel off? One of the things we believe is that in life, there is a spiritual component. There's a spiritual component to our world, to our reality, to our relationships, to ourselves. And sometimes the reason why we can't quite put our finger on what feels off is because it's not visible, it's not audible, it's not smellable, it's not touchable. It is something that's going on in the spiritual realm that's causing things to feel off. There is a spiritual source to the funkiness. Here's the thing. You and I are not without recourse in those situations. You and I have access to spiritual resources that God has placed at our disposal to address those spiritual causes when things feel off. We have something we can do when things feel off. In fact, we have access to spiritual resources that can change the atmosphere in almost every situation, whether the cause is spiritual or not. Because the reality is that God wants to bring change in the atmosphere even when the causes are natural. Because there are spiritual things that can happen to change the atmosphere there as well. For the next few weeks here at Chatham Community Church, we're going to be talking about how to tap into those spiritual resources. Those spiritual resources and how to connect to the source of those spiritual resources. The God who made us, the God who loves us, and the God who wants good not just for us, but for our world as well. The God who has answers when things feel off. In general terms, what we're going to be talking about is prayer. We're going to look at specific prayers in the scriptures that occurred in situations either where the situation felt funky or where someone was just praying for a positive change in a neutral situation. We're going to look at those scriptures and those prayers and see how they can help us change the atmosphere in the situations and relationships we may find ourselves in. Now, here's the thing. When we read these prayers in Scripture, I don't want you to take them as magic words. These aren't incantations that we just recite word for word and suddenly something happens. They aren't a combination to a safe or the key to a lock. What they do is that they provide a picture of a facet of how our relationship with God is designed to work. And it's a facet of our relationship, of how our relationship with God is designed to work, that many of us don't realize we have access to or don't know how to engage in. In our Connect Devotional this week, by the way, if you're new to our community, we have this thing called the Connect Devotional. We have folks in our community that spend weeks reflecting on the scriptures we're going to preach on, and they prepare a short reflection for every weekday talking about that scripture. This week, we were reflecting on 2 Chronicles 20. And one of our Connect Devotional writers talked about prayer, I love this framing, as speaking with God rather than speaking to God. He said, speaking to God is a one-way conversation. Prayer understood as being prevailing upon God to do what I think God ought to do. Speaking to God is all talk and no listening. But he said that prayer is actually speaking with God. And speaking with God is two-way. It's me listening and God speaking. Me speaking and God listening. What happens in prayer is that we invite God to take the lead. To take the lead in whatever situation we find ourselves in, whether it feels off or not, to take the lead in figuring out how to address the funk in a space, in a relationship, in a situation, to do the parts that only God can do, but also to direct us in the parts that are ours to take care of, to direct us in the actions that are ours. When things feel off, we can pray. Because when we pray and engage in the speaking with dynamic with God, we can change the atmosphere in any situation. In any situation for good. There is no situation in which God can't act to bring about change for good and to show us what, if any, part we have to play in bringing about that kind of positive change. So as we stand here at the start of 2025, take a moment to reflect. Where in your life do you long to see the atmosphere change? And maybe for some of us, this is not the question. Maybe the question needs to take a step back. Are there places where you've settled for things to just feel off, that God might be inviting you to revive a longing for change? Maybe you've settled because you tried stuff and it didn't work. Maybe you settled because you couldn't put your finger on what it was, or it felt like it was entirely out of your control. Where are the situations where the atmosphere must change for the better? Where it feels off? Because, folks, it doesn't have to. It doesn't have to remain that way. So once again, where in your life do you long to, or maybe need to start longing to see change in the atmosphere in 2025? What if prayer? What if speaking with God and connecting with Him is the key to see that change that you long to see, or that are longing again to see? The passage we read earlier presents a situation that desperately needs a change in the atmosphere. We read from 2 Chronicles 20. Let me situate us. It's a book in the Old Testament. It tells the story from creation to the foundation of the nation of Israel to sort of the end of exile and the prophets of that people. Just to give you a context of where we're located in that history, many of us are familiar or have at least heard of David and Solomon. Those are maybe the most famous kings in Israel's history. This is a number of generations down from David and Solomon. David and Solomon governed over a united kingdom. At this point, the kingdom has been divided. There's a kingdom in the north and a kingdom in the south. Jehoshaphat is the king of the kingdom in the south, the kingdom of Judah with its capital in Jerusalem. And Jehoshaphat and his people are in a tough spot. There's a coalition of surrounding kingdoms that have come together to attack Jerusalem, to attack Judah. The odds are stacked against them. And there is no military strategy that can provide an answer in this moment. They don't have an answer for how to get out of this one. And it starts to feel, as you hear the nations that are surrounding them, that have united to attack them, that this is a hopeless situation. And hopeless situations make for unpleasant atmosphere. So let's rehearse what's going on in the story. They're facing what feel like challenges on every side. They have uncertainty about how to move forward, and they have a sense that the resources that they have at their disposal aren't enough or aren't the right ones. Boy, doesn't that sound like situations we find ourselves in every once in a while, doesn't it? Haven't we all been or known someone in a situation where you could check either one or more of those boxes? Challenges on every side? Uncertainty about how to move forward? A sense of lack of resources, or that the resources that we have don't have an answer for what's in front of us. What do we do? What do you see other people do? What have you done in those situations in the past? Sometimes we freeze. We freeze. We don't know how to move, and we don't move. Sometimes we get anxious. And anxiousness can lead us to do all sorts of things or nothing. Sometimes we act just to feel like we did something. And we can tell stories about times when we've acted where it was just spinning our wheels, times when we acted where we took some bumps along the way and had some scars, but maybe came out on the other side, and times where we just acted and just created chaos. There's got to be a better way. There's got to be something more. When the king and his people find themselves in one of those situations, what they do is they turn to God. They call on him. They all fast together. They all set aside time to be before God. They invite God and they welcome his involvement in this situation and his leadership of how they're going to respond. And here's the thing, them engaging in fasting, them engaging in praying is not wishful thinking. It's not wishful thinking. It's not a cop-out. It's not a security blanket. We know that because we see the results. But their approach of turning to prayer has two sort of assumptions, two beliefs behind it that I want to draw out. Because it's because they believe two things, that they go to prayer, that they go to fasting, that they go to God. It's not just because it's habit. It's not just because it's security blanket. It's not just to check a box. There are two things that they believe that make this not just the right option, but the only option in these situations. And there are two things for us to consider and embrace if we're going to make a change in the atmosphere in our lives, if we're going to see speaking with God as a viable alternative. Two beliefs. First, that the biggest challenges and obstacles we may face in life are never bigger than the God who made us, loves us, and is for us. If they can believe this, then clearly they will go to God when they are surrounded by armies, when they are facing what seem like insurmountable odds. Friends, this isn't just a pie-in-the-sky belief. They've experienced this. And friends, this isn't just true for them. It's true for us as well. There is no situation in life. There is no series of situations in life. There is no accumulation of challenges in life that will ever stack up to be bigger than the God who loves you, to be bigger than the God who made you, to be bigger than the God who is for you. God is bigger than anything we might face in life, and we are with him, and he is with us. God wants good for us. God is a great ally to have when the atmosphere feels off or feels funky, because it's never so off or funky for him that it will overwhelm him. The second thing that is clearly working in the background is this: God knows the way forward. God knows the way forward towards the fruitful life he made us for and can guide us through it in every circumstance. What point is there to go to God when they're surrounded if they don't believe that God knows how he's going to get them out of this? Right? They're not going to God so that God just sort of puts their hand on them, pats them on the head, says, "They're there, it's going to be tough. You just got to bite the bullet." No, they're going to God because they believe God can get them out of this. They believe that God knows how to get out of this. And they believe that God wants them to get out of this. Friends, for all of us, God made us for a fruitful life. God wants us to live that fruitful life. God knows how we get to live that fruitful life. And God wants to show us how to live that fruitful life and how to get us through any situation or circumstance that is standing in the way of the fruitful life. If we believe these things, if we embrace these things, then we will turn to him when the situation feels off, when there's a need for a change in the atmosphere, in your relationships, in situations at work, in life, in any space that you happen to find yourself in. God is never flustered, God is never stuck, and God can bring any one of us, every one of us, through any situation and every situation to and into fruitfulness. That's the God that we get to speak with. That's the God that invites us to speak with him. That's the God that puts spiritual resources at our disposal. That's the God that can change the atmosphere in any and every situation. Jehoshaphat and his people know these things. They believe these things, so they aren't frozen or frantic. They aren't anxious, and they're not hurrying about doing whatever they can. When the situation turns sour, when it feels like they're in impending doom, they speak with God. They go to him, and the atmosphere changes. I want to highlight three things about Jehoshaphat's prayer that I think help change the atmosphere and could help us as we're trying to figure out, okay, so then what do I pray? How do I speak with God? What do I speak with him? Or what do I say when I speak with him? Three things I want to highlight. One of the first things that Jehoshaphat does is that he tells God's history with his people. He talks about Abraham. He talks about what happens after God brings the people out of Egypt. He talks about the establishment of the people in Israel. He traces God's engagement with his people throughout their history. Now, here's the thing. God doesn't need reminding of these things. God knows these things. God is intimately involved in every single detail of these events. The history is being told for their sake. It's being told so that they can be settled, because it reminds them of how God has been acting with them and for them throughout their history. It also reminds them that this isn't the first time they've been in a bind. This isn't the first time that the odds have felt stacked against them. And it creates the sense or the expectation that because God did it in the past, God not only can do it again, but God will do it again. One of the pathways to changing the atmosphere is to remember and rehearse what God has done. You start with what God has done in your life. But some of us don't have a long history with God. We don't have lots to pull from. The blessing is we have people around us. Now, one, ask people for their stories. If you have a history with God, this is an invitation for you to tell your stories. Tell the stories of how God has acted in your life because someone else is going to need them at a point where they're trying to figure out how God might act for them. They need to know that God has a track record even to this day. And friends, not as a last resort, but as a wealth of energy, we have the scriptures as well. The people in the scriptures aren't special in the sense that they are entirely distinct from us. They are people like you and I who just happen to live in a different time, in a different location, under different circumstances. But they are flesh and bone, just like you and I. They have doubts, they have frustrations. They stumble and they fall. They rise and they succeed sometimes. They are faithful and unfaithful. And what you see throughout the scripture is how they do life with God, how God does life with them, and how God comes through. Those stories are for us as well. They're the stories that God is still writing to this day. I've experienced personally the benefit of remembering and rehearsing. About 2 years ago, I was talking with someone, and I was commenting on how unsettled I felt. I just didn't feel right in life. I didn't feel right in my work. I didn't feel right in my relationships. I felt like I was in a funk. Like, I felt like I was at a point professionally where things just did not feel like they were hitting on all cylinders, and I was unhappy, and I was frustrated. And she said, "I've heard you talk like this before." And then she told me the story of how a few years before, I was saying the exact same things. She says, and she said, "What I've noticed is that whenever blank and blank are happening or going on, you start talking like this." So we paused. And I remembered those situations. I remembered the things I did, some of them not great. And I remember the times that I turned to God in prayer and what happened on the other side of that. And I stopped in that moment and I prayed. And this peace came over me. And the atmosphere in my life, even my outlook on what was going on, changed completely. Now, it wasn't the last time something like that happened. The next time, I'd love to say that I didn't get in a funk again. What I will say is that it didn't take that long for me to get out of it. I'm a work in progress, folks. We all are. I didn't go that far down the rabbit hole the next time. And my hope is that as time progresses, I won't peek my head into the rabbit hole again. But I know that even if I do, I'll have a chance to remember and rehearse and come back. We're all prone to forgetting. No matter what kind of history we have with God, we're all prone to forgetting, especially when we're in the thick of it. But when we remember and we rehearse, it can change how the atmosphere feels. It can change our outlook on what feels like a funk. The next thing you see Jehoshaphat talk about in prayer is he talks about what God has said to his people that he is going to do. God had made promises to his people. And if God comes through with his promises, which is entirely consistent with it, with God's character, then Jehoshaphat knows that they're going to be okay. They are surrounded. Armies are coming at them from every side. But they've got promises from a God who has delivered, can deliver, and they believe will deliver. And when he rehearses those promises, when he declares those promises, it helps them stand firm in the promises. They don't just have history to build upon, saying that God will act. They have promises for a future that God has given them or told them about that give them confidence that God will act. Well, friends, they're not the only ones with promises from God. God has made promises to us to lead us into life and life everlasting, to build us into people who are fruitful. So when things feel off, when things feel unsteady, when things feel unsure, those promises help ground us. You can change the atmosphere when you ground yourself in God's promises. Because God's promises lead us or have committed to lead us into good places, to a good future, to a future of peace, of breakthrough, of strength, of freedom, of life, life in the fullest, life for all time, starting now. You can ground yourself in those promises. You know that even if the situation feels off, it will not feel off, and it will not be off for all eternity. It will not be off for long. God will bring a solution. A while ago, someone from our church community was engaged in a very, very high-stakes, significant work project. They were at the head of it. And they had to manage tons of people, tons of situations, lots of money involved in the project, lots of things at stake. They were heading towards the home stretch, and it felt like one thing after another started to go wrong. People who had been incredibly helpful started to be obstinate. They started to not do the work. Partners started to not answer calls. People started to be difficult. It was just horrible. Everything felt like it was starting to fall apart. And this person didn't know what to do. Everything felt funky. She'd been reading in Scripture and came upon a passage that read, "The battle belongs to the Lord." And she felt when she read that passage that God was saying, "This is for you. Hold on to it. I've got this, and I've got you." So for the rest of the project, whenever something came up, whenever one of those things started to go wrong or she got reminders, she would say, "The battle belongs to the Lord." And just do the faithful things she could do next. And it settled her. But then one by one, everything that felt like it was falling apart started to come back into order. And the project came to a successful conclusion and relationships didn't break down. As you face 2025, as you face the situations that feel off, what promises might you need to ground yourself in to change the atmosphere? What are promises that God has made to you or that you found in Scripture that you need to embrace in 2025 to ground yourself in? The last thing I want to highlight about the prayer is Jehoshaphat's closing statement. After stating that they don't have the resources, a very real thing, they don't have the resources to get through this situation by themselves, the king, who's gathered in front of all his people, says this: "We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Those are words that leadership experts would say you never say in front of the large audience. You may say it with the core team, but you never say it in front of the large people because it erodes confidence. It can cause a panic. But the king knows that more than being confident in him, the people need to be confident in God. The people need to be confident in God. Here's another thing I love about that prayer. It reminds us that we don't need to have solutions before we come to God. I remember reading once management sort of axioms that said that when you're leading people, tell them, "Don't bring me problems unless you're bringing me ideas for solutions." Now, I know where that comes from. I get what problem that's trying to address, but we've all faced problems that we don't have answers for. And someone needs to know that these things are going on, someone that may have an answer, someone that may have an idea. We need to tell someone who may know how to move forward. God doesn't need us to wait until we've exhausted all our resources, all our expertise, burnt ourselves out before we come to him. We don't need to wait until we're frayed. We don't need to wait for that. We can come to him. Today, we can pray, "God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you." That's the core invitation for today. This is the change the atmosphere prayer I want to invite us to pray over the next few weeks. "God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you." And we're going to start right now. I'm just going to create space right now. Think of something, a situation where you don't know what to do. Maybe you haven't even started thinking about it and you're like, "Well, I'm sure that I don't need to bother God with this because if I give it like an hour, I can probably come up with 2 or 3 plans. Don't wait. If you don't know what to do or aren't sure, it's a situation that you would rather have God's perspective first before you even engage in it, pray it right now. Pray it right now. I'm going to give us 10 seconds. Find the situation, put it in your mind, and say these words. You can say them out loud. You can say them to yourself. You can say them quietly. You can say them loudly. It doesn't matter to me. Pray. Pray these things right now. "God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you." Let him change the atmosphere. I'm going to do mine. So just take 10 seconds. "God, we may not know what to do. I don't know what to do. But our eyes are on you. And my eyes are on you." Amen. Friends, after the king prays this prayer, God responds. God responds and the atmosphere changes. God speaks to the people. He says things like, "Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. The battle is mine. Go forth. I will be with you. The atmosphere changes for the people. They go from despair to worship, to celebration, to victory. When we pray, when we remember God's work, when we ground ourselves in his promises, when we call on his help, it changes things. Because the atmosphere feels different when we have God's presence with us, God's favor for us, and God's guiding of us. That's the shift that you see very evident in the passage, and that's the shift that can happen in your life and in my life today and every day. At the end of the story, there's this beautiful summary where it says that the people had peace during all of Jehoshaphat's reign. It's a unique situation in this part of the history of the people of Israel, where they are surrounded by people that don't like them. And it says God gave them rest on every side. Peace for an era and rest on every side sounds like an incredibly appealing invitation and an incredibly pleasant atmosphere. What if 2025 was the year we experienced a sense of peace and rest on every side? Because that's the kind of atmosphere that God can deliver. That's the kind of atmosphere that we will live in for eternity. That's a changed atmosphere. And we can start it today. One of the things we do here at Chatham Community Church on the first Sunday of every month is we celebrate communion together. Communion is a remembering and rehearsing exercise. It's where we talk about what God has done, we remember his promises and ground ourselves in, and we participate in him, in his guidance for our life. And we're going to do that today. In a moment, in fact, now I'm going to invite the folks I've asked to host communion tables to go to those communions. I'm going to give us instructions about how we're going to take communion. The worship team is going to lead us in a song, and then I'll come up to lead us in the taking of the elements together. Here's what communion is. It's where we remember what Jesus did in his life, death, and resurrection. The commitment he made to us, the way he delivered, and the promises that are still to come. If you are following Jesus, this is an opportunity for you to partake in the communion elements. When we take the gluten-free cracker to represent the bread, when we take the grape juice to represent the wine, we are embracing a history, a story that has meaning for us, that has meaning for now, and that has meaning for the future. We are grounding ourselves in promises for life and life everlasting. I'm going to pray for us in just a second. Then I'm going to release us to the table. When you go, you gather the elements and you go back to your table and sit. As you sit, continue praying that, God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you, and ground yourself in Jesus' work, in his freedom, in his blessing, in his grace. I'll come up in a little bit. I'll lead us in the taking of the elements together, and we will continue to celebrate and worship in the victory that God has already brought and the promise of the victory and freedom in a peaceful and restful atmosphere that can start now and is to come. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you that not just in Jehoshaphat's story, but all throughout history, we have instances of you stepping into situations that feel chaotic and no hope and bringing peace. Lord, you did it on the cross. The cross felt like the ultimate victory for death and turmoil and anger and hostility. And yet you rose in victory to bring life and life everlasting. Lord, what a great example that there is no obstacle that we can face that you cannot overcome, that there's no thing that can be before us that you cannot find a way through. Lord, in the places that we don't know what to do, we can with faith say that you do. So come be with us. Be with us in the elements. Be with us in the communion. Be with us in the worship. In Jesus' name.